Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. The use of four-letter suffixes for biologics has been a source of controversy in the United States since the FDA's guidance on naming was released in 2015. The guidance stated that all newly approved biosimilars, interchangeable products, and originator biologics would add a four-letter suffix to the end of the non-proprietary name or molecule name of the drug. However, the FDA revised their guidelines in 2019, and many originator manufacturers were relieved to find that they would not have to add a suffix retrospectively to products already on the market. Although many argued that the suffixes cause confusion, some said suffixes add clarity, distinguishing biologics from one another. We sat down with Dr. Nancy Globus, Vice President of Regulatory Affairs at the Accreditation Council for Medical Affairs, or ACMA, to discuss the true impact that these suffixes have on biosimilar perception and whether the United States has the right idea about using them. So, Nancy, has there been any evidence suggesting that suffixes add to confusion at the pharmacy counter?
So it's really interesting because we have to remember that medication errors are caused by a number of issues. And the name is only one of those issues that could cause confusion or error. There are practitioner and practice site related issues. And on the industry side, we're just talking about the non-proprietary name. There's also the brand name that could be exposed to confusion, what the package looks like. So we have to remember that there are a lot of causes of medication errors, as well as the fact that medication error reporting is voluntary. So maybe somebody is confused by something and it's a near miss, and they don't think to report it. So it's very difficult to get hard evidence of the occurrence of errors. It's very much dependent on practitioners to report, as well as if any of those product complaints that go to the industry, if they get coded as a medication error rather than just an adverse event, to have that turn into a signal that's actionable.
To build on that, is there any evidence that physicians and pharmacists aren't keeping track of which biosimilars are being used?
That also is an interesting topic, and it depends on the clinical setting. So I think in hospitals, I know when I was a hospital pharmacist, we had therapeutic interchange, which allowed for substitution of one product for another without physician intervention or prescriber intervention. But those decisions are made at a policy level of the institution. So somebody has to sign off on it somewhere. It's just that it gives the pharmacist the latitude to dispense per policy. So it's an interesting aspect. And I think also, again, there's many sides of this story where, okay, there's pressure from insurers and payers, which brand is going to get paid for? And then you have patients, oh, well, I just need to get my whatever product and I need to have it covered. You know, so it's very complex.
Unlike the United States, Europe doesn't require suffixes at all. How has this worked out for them? Is their system better or worse?
You know, I don't think it's better or worse. It's just different. And the EU went through a similar wobble back and forth. They had initially proposed a two-letter biologic qualifier, which they never put into practice. And I think, again, it depends on whose perspective you're looking at it from, because from a patient perspective, if you look at the EU market, there are many more biosimilars on the market. So guess what? Increase patient access. from an industry standpoint, it's easier for them because it's one less thing in the naming scheme that they have to deal with. And then from the safety signal standpoint, that one is hard to tell because you have to look over long periods of time to see whether those adverse events and the things that are being tracked from a pharmacovigilance standpoint, are those reports coming in to the regulators and are they actionable and how quickly are they actionable? So I think from that standpoint, it's too early to tell. It very much depends on whose point of view you're looking at it from.
Well, Nancy, thank you for your insights. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.